Hello, everybody. This is Jason Peebles, the founder and president of World Outreach Ministries, and this is another victory video designed to help you grow strong in Christ. In a moment, I want to look at a powerful part of God's Word that I've come to call winning the battle of the mind. Before we do that, let me just say a great big thank you to those of you who are supporting your missionary. You know, we're the home office for missionaries all over the world. We have missionaries that do all kinds of things. They're involved in church planting and discipleship, leadership training. Some do mobile medical clinics, children's shelters, orphanages, translation work, aviation. It just goes on. And it's exciting to be a part of this end time move of God's Word around the world. But you know what? They all have one thing in common, and that's that they really need the foundation of their friends like you to pray for them, support them, and cover them, making it possible. So thank you for supporting your missionary. By the way, if you're a missionary watching this and you're in need of a dependable home office, then you found the right place. This is a great day. Go to our website, and I'll put the address across the screen, worldoutreach.org. worldoutreach.org, and simply click on our missionary agency section, and all the details are there on what we can do to help you administratively, help make things easier for you, help you move to the next level, actually, in your outreach, and we'd love to be a part of your mission work. All right, let's turn our attention now to this powerful principle of winning the battle of the mind. You know, once you become a Christian, you're in Christ, but that's not the end of the story or the journey. That's really just the beginning. And so even though God, it says in Ephesians, He's translated you from darkness into light, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. So you've been transferred, as it were, and you have a new citizenship. There is a battle that begins to take place. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians, they've not studied this out. They don't know about it. And so they're kind of caught off guard. And the battlefield, even though there's a spiritual battle, the real battlefield is right up here in our thinking, in our mind. But we can win that battle if we simply know about it and understand the tools that God has given us. Now, let me just share a scripture with you from Ephesians chapter 6. And I wish I had time to just camp out on all these verses, but I don't. I'm going to have to go through this rather quickly. And there's a couple that I want to focus on. But this is the scripture that talks about the spiritual battle that we're in. And it will answer so many questions for you. He says in Ephesians 6, and I'm beginning with verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." So, why do we have to be strong? Because there's a battle, maybe? Yes. So it's not just enough to cruise through life, que sera, sera. We've got to be strong, what? Not in ourselves. He says, in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the plans and the schemes of the devil. Now, you know, Paul wrote this while in prison, and it's very possible that when Paul was in prison, he was looking at a centurion. And of course, the Roman soldiers were commonplace in those days, and everybody could relate to this example that Paul's sharing. And so he looks at this centurion, and he's thinking, you know what? And the Holy Spirit begins to quicken him. You know what? That centurion has different pieces or parts of the armor. There's defensive pieces to protect. There's the sword, which is an offensive weapon. He talks about prayer, and he's relating that to communication. The soldiers will call off orders to one another, and they've learned plans. They don't just go into battle without plans. And so I don't know how they did it, but the centurions would hear, okay, plan number 102 or A or B or whatever the code was, and they knew exactly where to line up based on those plans. And so Paul begins to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Christians have spiritual armor, and there is a battle. Please understand that there is a battle, a warfare over your life. Now, the good news is Satan's already lost the main battle, and that is you're a Christian. If you're in Christ, then he's already lost the main battle. He did not want you to come to Christ. But thank God you heard about the message, you've had faith in Christ, and now you're a Christian. His next level of attack is to stop you from succeeding, to stop you from fulfilling God's plan. He's already messed up and lost you, as it were, because you've been translated into the kingdom of light. But now he'd like to make life miserable for you. And that's what the warfare is all about. Paul goes on to say, "For we do not wrestle." Now watch this. He's defining who our enemy is. You know, your enemy is not that person that's mistreating you. Your enemy's not your spouse on the day that they say something unkind to you, even though you might think, like, boy, they seem to be fighting me. There's an enemy in the spirit. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, listen, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So to summarize that, Paul's saying that Satan and all the fallen angels, they have hierarchy. And I wish we had time to study that out. Very interesting. But just like in the Roman army or any army, there you have generals, you have lieutenants, you have sergeants, you have the foot soldiers. In our day and time, you have the pilots. You've got all this organization taking place. In the spirit, he says there's different levels. He calls them principalities. That's one level. Powers, the rulers of the darkness, and spiritual wickedness or wicked spirits in heavenly places. So Satan has an army, and that army is organized to, number one, try to keep people from Christ and stop the gospel from going around the world. And that's why we have a missionary program, praise God, because we want to see the gospel reach the whole world. But number two, Satan's purpose is to stop Christians from knowing about Christ and all the resources they have and stop them from achieving God's plan for their life. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So he says, you got to do your part and put on this armor. Stand, therefore. And he begins to list the armor. And again, I really wish we had time to go through all the pieces of the armor, but there's a couple I want to focus on. He says, gird your waist with the belt of truth. So he looks over at that centurion and he says, you know, he's got something called the belt that's holding the different pieces together. He says, Christians have something called the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. So just like the centurion has this, we would call it a bulletproof vest, but this breastplate that would protect them from the enemy's swords and spears that are trying to come. He says, we have a breastplate of righteousness, and we need to understand what that is. He says, and your feet, just like the soldiers have specialized footwear to help them grip and cut and do this and do that. He says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But notice in verse 16 and 17, he says, above all, in other words, covering all, the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now that's important. There's fiery darts coming at you. And we're going to talk about these fiery darts usually go through the mind. He says these fiery darts you can quench with the shield of faith, and take the helmet of salvation. That is so important. We're going to talk about the helmet that covers the mind. That's where the main battlefield is. Remember the title of this session? Winning the battle of the mind. You've got to put on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying. So there's a lot of pieces to the armor. Let's focus on this idea of the shield of faith, which is going to quench. He says it can stop the fiery darts. Here comes the darts from the enemy, or the arrows, the fiery arrows, the missiles. You can stop it with a shield. You know, on that day it was a physical shield. Even today our riot police, if you've ever seen them on TV, they still use plexiglass shields. And they can see through it, but the shield stops a lot of projectiles and rocks that might be hurled at them. Well, we're even now talking about this invisible, you know, shield that can cover a region or an area, or a missile shield that can detect other missiles coming in and stop it. And so the whole concept is still very viable in our day and time, this idea of shielding. Helmet of salvation. You know, we send our troops into battle with sophisticated helmets to protect their head. Why? We know that if somebody's injured in the head, your brain, your mental faculties, then everything comes to a sudden halt. And in the spirit, I want you to watch this. If you're not alert to the enemy hurling insults, arrows into your thinking, you're no good. You're not going to succeed. Your marriage is going to end up on the rocks. Your children are going to be rebellious. And all these thoughts, negative thoughts coming, and sometimes other people, they seem to be agents of the enemy. They tell us things. And you know this bullying spirit that's in our schools these days? I am telling you that that goes into the young people's minds, and they don't have any teaching about this and how to quench the fiery darts. And so often that can program their self-image, how they see themselves. There's a lot in this. And so we need to be aware, number one, there is a battle. Number two, we need to understand the battle primarily is in the mind. We have to have this helmet of salvation. We have to be aware of our salvation and all the benefits thereof. Why? It'll protect our mind. It'll protect our mind. All right, let me turn our attention to Jesus' example. And we have to realize that Jesus went through this same spiritual, mental, psychological battle just as we do. Did you know that? We'll turn in Mark chapter 14, and I want to just briefly hit this to make you aware of it. But Jesus was attacked mentally before he went to the cross. And do you remember the story in the Garden of Gethsemane where it says he was under pressure? One version says distressed. Some of the newer versions say depressed. The enemy was trying to talk Jesus out of obedience. We know that. It was not a work of the Father, because later Jesus said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." So his will, the enemy tries to break down your will, break down your desire to follow the plan of the Father. But Jesus is our shining example. He came out on top. But it says in Mark chapter 14, verse 32, they came to a place called Gethsemane. Do you remember the story where they prayed? And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." As he began to pray, he was troubled and deeply distressed. Now, that was not the Father. That was the enemy trying to pressure him to not follow through. It says in verse 34, he says, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." You know, Luke's account says that he was under such pressure that he sweated great drops of blood. That's how much pressure the enemy was bringing to bear in his mind. Don't go through with it. There's another way. "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And finally, Jesus came out and said, "No, this is the mission. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Now, I alluded to that story, and I wish we had time to go through all the verses. We don't, but there are other accounts in the other Gospels. You can study that out. But the point is, Jesus was under psychological warfare. And you're going to be at times hit by the enemy, and you've got to know how to lift the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, so that you can move forward in God's will and not miss what he wants for you. Let me quickly mention to you before we conclude this, that we have a study guide called Psychological Warfare. Now, this study guide goes through all the parts of the armor. And this study guide is absolutely free. If you're not aware of it, we have a section on our website called Free Bible Studies. You can go there, find the free study guide section, find this one on psychological warfare, print it out. Then you can study it, mark it, make notes, and take it a lot further. And we have over 400 hours of audio sessions that are absolutely free. You can, if you're connected to Wi-Fi, just listen, just stream it. It won't cost you any on your data. If you're in a place where you don't have Wi-Fi connection, then just download it quickly and then listen at your convenience. But we have all these study sessions that will help you grow in Christ. So be sure to go to our free Bible study section. Now, as we conclude this, I want to just kind of give you a handle on this. Out of Ephesians, it talks about one of the keys that ties into the helmet of salvation, and that's called renewing the mind. Renewing the mind, changing the way you think. He says in Ephesians 4, verse 22, Paul writes, that you put off concerning the former conduct or the former life, the old man. Now, he refers to the old way of operating as the old man. He's using a metaphor there. The old man or the old person, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Watch this, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There it is, the battlefield. The battlefield is the mind. Paul says we have to renew our mind. That is, bring our mind in line with what God says, what the Word says, what our destiny says. And so as we come to the conclusion of this, I want to remind you, some of you watching this, you may have been hit psychologically. You're no good. It's not going to work out. Your family's not going to work out. Your job's not going to work out. Your finances are going down the drain. Whatever. Man, grab your thought life and bring it back in line with what God says. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I am blessed. Quench the fiery darts of the enemy and win the battle of the mind. You can. And you can be like Jesus. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And see your destiny fulfilled. Well, I trust that this has been a blessing to you. This is Jason Peebles reminding you to starve your doubts, feed your faith, and follow God's plan for your life.